13 years since the September 11 attacks on the U.S., and the world continues to reel from the effects of what then-President George W. Bush called the War on Terror. Even as the U.S. is military involved in more nations than before, President Obama on Wednesday outlined his, quote, counterterrorism strategy regarding the rising threat of ISIL Takfiri militants in Syria and Iraq. In this edition of the debate, we discuss the U.S. War on Terror, past, present, and future.
ISIL poses a threat to the people of Iraq and Syria and the broader Middle East, including American citizens, personnel, and facilities. If left unchecked, these terrorists could pose a growing threat beyond that region, including to the United States.
U.S. President Barack Obama has outlined what Washington calls his strategy on the ISIL Takfiri militants in Syria. Obama says he has decided to extend the U.S. airstrikes against the ISIL.
Across the border in Syria, we have ramped up our military assistance to the Syrian opposition. Tonight, I call on Congress again to give us additional authorities and resources to train and equip these fighters. In the fight against ISIL, we cannot rely on an Assad regime that terrorizes its own people, a regime that will never regain the legitimacy it has lost. Instead, we must strengthen the opposition as the best counterweight to extremists like ISIL, while pursuing the political solution necessary to solve Syria's crisis once and for all.
The Syrian government has criticized the U.S. decision to carry out airstrikes inside its territory, saying such raids without Damascus' permission would be considered as an attack on the Arab country. Russia has also reacted to the U.S. announcement by saying any attack against the ISIL without the approval of the Syrian government would be a violation of the international law. The White House trumpeted Obama's speech on the ISIL for a few days. However, critics of the U.S. foreign policy say America has actually fueled extremism in the Middle East and beyond. The United States invaded Afghanistan and Iraq following the September 11 attacks on U.S. soil. The stated aim of the invasion of Afghanistan was to topple the Taliban regime and dismantle its allies, Al-Qaeda. The U.S. also invaded Iraq after accusing it of supporting Al-Qaeda and stockpiling WMDs. Washington never provided any credible evidence to prove the allegations. But the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan never rid the country of the Taliban and extremism. Also, the Iraq War spawned numerous militant groups in the country and beyond, which many believe are worse than Al-Qaeda. The latest terror group is the ISIL, which is called an offspring of the U.S.-backed insurgency against the Syrian government.
Well, let me begin by introducing our guests. From Irvine, we're being joined by the writer and producer of Operation Terror and the former mayor of Bellflower, California, Arthur C. Olivier from Irvine. And from North Carolina, we're being joined by the president of American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here on Press TV. Now, Mr. Lane, I'll start with you. Let's begin with Obama's most recent comments. He outlined that the strategy, and I quote, of taking out terrorists who threaten us while supporting partners on the front lines is one that we have successfully pursued in Yemen and Somalia for years. Now, as Kerry meets these quote-unquote supporting partners in Saudi Arabia, there are those who say that these are the very players who have created these Takfiri groups like ISIL.
This is one of the more complicated international situations that we're going to face. I don't envy President Obama for the circumstance that he's got himself into, but I think it needs to be emphasized and understood that by his disengagement in the Middle East, he has gotten himself into this particular thing. First of all, to cite Yemen as a success story of United States anti-terrorism efforts is laughable. I don't know that anybody would cite that as a huge success story. But let me get directly to your question. We're putting together a coalition. President Obama is putting together a coalition. He now has the names of some 18, 19, 20 countries that he's adding to the coalition. He hopes to have more. And he hopes to have many Arab states that are part of it. And he now has, somewhere between 9 and 10 Arab states that have signed on and said they're going to be part of the coalition to fight ISIL. Well, that's all well and good, but there's two questions. The first one is the one that you asked, which is what steps have they taken to help ISIL become what it has, the threat that it has today? And then the second one is, other than lending their names to the coalition, what exactly are they going to do to help the coalition win, or is lending their names enough justification to lend it credibility? This whole operation, although necessary because of Obama's inaction over the last four, five, 6 years in withdrawing from the Middle East, although it is necessary, it's so fraught with unknowns, and it's so fraught with danger, and it's so fraught with potential landmines that no one knows how it's going to end up. I suspect it's going to end up where ultimately the United States is going to have to put ground troops into it to finish the job, but we'll see if that happens.
Well, Mr. Olivier, jump in if you may. Doesn't weakening of the Damascus government directly benefit ISIL and help consolidate its hold on the region? Because let's not forget, in his remarks on Wednesday, Obama did say that the U.S. will continue to support the quote-unquote opposition in Syria through funds as well as arms.
Yeah, I mean, first thing you got to do is you got to look who's funding ISIS. And it's... you know, it just didn't come out on its own. These are paid mercenaries. A friend of mine, Franklin Lamb, he's over there. He's interviewed these people. They're not religious. They're just doing this. This is their job. And you stop the funding, you stop ISIS. Now, the reason why the president says that we have a justification going over there is those beheading videos that they were showing. Anybody that wants to can go to LiveLeak. They can watch the videos. They can see that those were staged. There were not real beheadings. It's completely obvious. There is absolutely no beheading. They show a Photoshop picture afterwards that doesn't have the correct shadows to go with the daytime. It's completely obvious. Those were fake. Our intelligence agencies are saying no, those were real. That gives you an indication that the government is behind this. That this is a false flag. Attack that against these journalists, and it's simply not real. And the whole purpose of this is actually to overthrow the Assad government. The ISIL, the other terrorist groups that were in Syria that were trying to overthrow the government were unsuccessful, and now they need help. They need help from the American military to go over there and finish the job against Assad. That's the whole reason for this. It's nothing to do with this this fake terror group called ISIS.
Mr. Lane, your reaction to this? Because let's not forget, if you do follow the money trail, one can easily conclude that the threat of ISIL, as many have pointed out, and other Takfiri groups in the region, has been exploited by the West, by its allies, to militarily intervene in the region.
You know, I don't have an immediate slam dunk argument against your comment there. It holds a lot of water. But look, President Obama had his chance a year ago to do what he wanted to do or do what he thought was necessary against President Assad to drive him from power and to let the Syrian people choose the leaders that they would. He chose not to at that time, mostly, I think, because he just got cold feet on the whole idea. And in the meantime, ISIS has ramped up. Not only have they taken over a great deal of territory that crosses international borders, but their financing is more than any other organized terror group that we've ever seen because of the oil fields that they've been able to capture and the black market money they've been able to bring in as a result of selling that black market oil. The third thing is there are innumerable, I think the latest estimates are over 500. I wouldn't be surprised if it's literally twice that. Of Western passport holders who are going in. They're being trained by ISIS. They're fighting with ISIS. They're becoming battle-hardened combat veterans of the cause. And then they're going to take their Western passports back to their Western countries and likely create domestic havoc and domestic terrorism inside the countries from which they came. And those include Western European countries as well as the United States. This is a direct and lethal threat to the United States interests. I think last night President Obama actually underplayed how much of a threat they are to the United States interests. ISIL, ISIS, does need to be destroyed. They don't need to be degraded. They need to be destroyed. And it's a very, very complicated situation. I have my doubts about President Obama's plan. And I think in the end, some 2 to 3 years down the road after he leaves office, we're going to find out that his successor is going to have to commit American ground troops to the theater to finish the job that the, quote, military partners on the ground were not able to finish.
All right, we'll come to the question of ground troops in just a bit. But, Mr. Olivier, do you agree with Mr. Lane when he says that Obama's intentions as far as Syria goes has nothing to do with removing Bashar al-Assad, because he could have done this a year ago? But let's not forget, exactly to this date last year, Obama outlined his strategy of removing Assad from power, which included the airstrikes, which are now being used to destroy ISIL.
Yeah, a year ago, they had another false flag attack. It was the chemical weapons attack against the children in Syria. That was found out that that was the rebels that were doing that. It was chemical weapons that they had received from Saudi Arabia. And even though the media here was saying that it was the Syrian government that was doing it, they couldn't get support from the American people to go over there and have another war. I think the support level was about 9%, which is nothing. And the American people are sick of these wars. Most people are starting to figure out it has nothing to do with what you see on TV. This is just to make the very well. What we've seen with this ISIL is that before they ever took over these oil fields, they were very well funded. They have all brand new trucks. They have new weapons. A general from Iraq, he said the weapons were made in Israel. Now, these aren't homegrown terrorists by any stretch of the imagination. These are mercenaries. They're very well-funded, and they've been well-funded before they ever took over any oil field.
Well, Mr. Lane, it's almost become a U.S. trademark, actually. They fund, support, equip different rebel extremist groups against a regime, and then declare those armed groups a terror threat to military intervene. Now, we've seen this in Afghanistan when it came to the Mujahideen against the Soviet Union, and now there were also warnings of a similar scenario playing out in Syria. Do you think the U.S. didn't calculate this?
Well, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and occasionally the United States, or more than occasionally the United States, will befriend a partner in the region that is going to turn out to be a long run a problem and someone who acts against our national interests. You do what you do on the spur of the moment, and calculating it out a couple years sometimes doesn't work out, as with the Mujahideen. However, in this particular case, we knew that ISIS was going to be bad. It was 3 years ago that certain American interests started calling for intervention in Syria and to fund the so-called responsible friendly rebels, the Syrian army, the Free Syrian Army, as opposed to the Al-Qaeda and the ISIS tag-alongs that came in later on the game. Obama hesitated, he froze, he couldn't make a decision, and the situation became so much more messy that now it's very, very difficult. I mean, you know, we're going to be funding and giving arms to the Free Syrian Army in Syria, and ask them to fight a two-front war now, one against ISIS and one against President Assad at the same time. And this just makes it so much more complicated, so much more problematic. And what happens in those particular battles when ISIS wins and captures American arms and captures American equipment and things like that. Yes, we've done a miserable job of this, and we've put ourselves into one of the most tight boxes that you'll ever find. But nonetheless, we're in a tight box, and we need to find a way out of it. And the way out of it, as President Obama articulated last night, may or may not work, but nonetheless, if it doesn't work, we've got to then take the next step and the step after that to ensure
that ISIS is destroyed because they are a direct threat to the United States.
Mr. Olivier, I'd like to pick up on a point that Mr. Lane just made. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. This really puts the U.S. counterterrorism strategy into huge questions now, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to say my enemy, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, well, then ISIS is our friend because the enemy is the Assad regime in Syria. And that's the whole goal of behind all these false flag terror attacks, you know, the fake beheadings, the chemical weapons that were used by the rebels in Syria. These are put out there so we can go over there and overthrow the Assad regime. So ISIL, I suppose, would still be our friends. You know, they were originally funded by Qatar and Saudi Arabia. I'm sure they still have funding coming in because those mercenaries that are working for ISIS, they don't do it for free. So if they cut the funding, they go home, the whole thing ends. But that's not what we want. We want a threat. We want somebody, you know, to fool the American people to thinking that we need to go over there with our military and destroy ISIS, when that's not the goal. The goal is to overthrow the Assad regime and put in a puppet government there.
All right. Gentlemen, hold your comments there. Let me cross over to our social media pages. This conversation obviously being held by our viewers as well. Let's take a listen to what they have to say.
On the contrary, the world is now a much, much more dangerous place. I would be pleasantly surprised if the human species survives this century. The US-led war on terror is far from making the world a safer place. It has made it more dangerous by curtailing human rights and undermining international law. They created the terrorists in the first place and armed them. How anyone can take the US seriously is beyond me. Wars for oil, nothing to do with terrorists. To be fair, it was never intended to make the world safer. It was the war of terror to terrorize countries that had natural resources and to dominate the Middle East and beyond. 2 million people have been killed so far and millions homeless. Yes, the world is very safe. It has started from Iraq, Afghanistan and Libya. Keep up the good work.
All right. Some of those comments there by our viewers on our Facebook page. Mr. Lane, you could see overall a lot of skepticism with regards to the U.S. counterterrorism policy there. And also, let me just bring up something journalist Seymour Hersh wrote back in 2007. And he outlined that U.S. is conducting candle sign operations in the Middle East, which includes bolstering Takfiri extremist groups, which were hostile to the U.S. and sympathetic to Al-Qaeda, in order to achieve its own strategic objectives in the region. How would you respond to that?
Well, I plead guilty on behalf of the United States towards inconsistency over the last 5-6 years. If there's anything that is the hallmark of President Obama's foreign policy, is that he is consistently inconsistent. There is no Obama doctrine that applies to the Middle East. In fact, he was interviewed a very short time ago, and when asked what his doctrine was for foreign policy, he said, it's don't do stupid stuff, foreign policy. As far as our involvement in giving aid to people who, on a short-term basis, we might hope, clandestine aid, to people that we hope will help us achieve a strategic objective, but we haven't overhelped them or something like that. That's a very tough call. And as I said a while ago, you know, there is the theory that the enemy is your friend. In the bigger picture here, ISIS is our enemy, and Syria is not our friend, but it's not as big an enemy short-term as ISIS is, because ISIS is the one that creates the immediate threat to the United States' interests, whereas Bashar Assad is the one who creates a long-term threat to the United States' interests.
Well, Mr. Olivier, your opinion on this, is it just bad strategic planning on the part of President Barack Obama, Or is there an end goal over here? Because let's not forget, many have pointed out that Obama has basically extrapolated on George Bush's counterterrorism policies, only evolving methods to include more drones and basically support from allies within the region.
Yeah, I mean, foreign policy in the United States is dictated by the Council on Foreign Relations, and it doesn't change when you have a change in an administration. So Obama's policies are Bush's policies. They're really no difference, just a different person reading the teleprompter. It's not a mistake. They know what they're doing. They created this threat. They put out these fake videos of beheadings. They're doing everything they can to try to get some American support to go into Syria and start a new war. No, it's not that President Obama is a bumbling fool. You know, he does what he's told, and he reads the teleprompter very well. I think even better than George Bush. So he's doing his job, and he's not making mistakes. Knows what he's doing, and the end goal right now is to go in and overthrow the Assad regime.
All right, Ms. Elaine, how does the U.S. government basically measure success on the ground? Because let's not forget, when we look at Afghanistan, we look at Iraq, they're still embroiled in a lot of upheaval, a lot of violence, a lot of which springs directly from the U.S. Let's not forget, Iraq did not have al-Qaeda, it did not have sectarian strife, it did not have suicide bombings before the U.S. led invasion of the country. So when President Obama says, I want to do this, or I want to carry out a certain airstrike, what is he measuring it upon when he looks back? Because militarily engaging in these countries to fight quote-unquote terrorism is not really working.
I'm hard-pressed to tell you how President Obama measures success. As I previously mentioned, his idea about a foreign policy, an overarching theme, is don't do stupid stuff. I confess, I just don't get that. Look, we used to measure in the United States long-term success by whether or not we have brought stability and peace to a region, and whether or not with our help there was the ability for people to help themselves and build their own country.
Okay, let me just stop you there, Mr. Lane. We're running out of time. Mr. Olivier, your closing comments. Is military engagement ever the option, the right option, to fight what the U.S. describes as terrorism?
No. We need to get completely out of the Middle East. I mean, you know, Afghanistan is the longest war in American history, and this is against a military that has no Air Force, no Army, no Navy, nothing. They have nothing other than what the ISI gives them. And we keep putting these mercenaries in place so we have somebody to fight over there. No, we need to completely get out of the Middle East, and so we can have peace in that region again.
All right. That was Arthur C. Olivier, the former mayor of Bellflower, California, and the writer and producer of Operation Terror, joining us from Irvine, joining us from North Carolina via Skype, is the president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your participation in this edition of The Debate. From me and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.